You know something, I'm so pleased to be here speaking to you this morning. This is a season of hope, isn't it? This is a time when we, you know, coming up to the time when we celebrate hope. And we'll be talking about hope this morning. I just give God thanks for hope. Jesus is our hope. Jesus is our hope. Praise the Lord. Again, my name is Milton, and I am very pleased to be here to speak to you this morning. The title of my word to you this morning is Jesus is our hope. So you've just heard explained the circumstances that led up to the birth of Jesus. And it's a lovely account, isn't it? The reason why is because it's about hope. And if we define hope, hope is a deep feeling of expectation and desire for a particular thing to happen. We're talking about Jesus' birth and the fact that he represents hope, and we'll be going deeply into it today. However, the world sees the birth of Jesus as just a heartwarming story that is told to usher in the Christmas season. They don't see it any further than that. They don't see the true significance of Jesus' birth. Now, it is definitely a heartwarming story, but it's far more than that. I think we all know that. It's far more than that. The birth of Jesus introduces our champion who will take on this battle and to win this battle over death and despair. The birth of Jesus really is about taking on death and defeating death, because we know that death reigns in this world. There are so many wars and disasters and epidemics and pandemics going on. So we are all at risk. So Jesus was introduced to take on death and despair and to usher in a time of peace. You see, death came into this world as a result of humanity's disobedience to God. Death is our enemy. It takes away our lives, our hopes, and our joy. So Jesus has come really as an antidote to death. Jesus has come to give us life, and to give us life more abundantly, not just life here and now, but eternal, abundant, fulfilling life. Jesus is our hope. And the interesting thing is, in Revelation 20, verse 14, death was destroyed. Death and Hades was grabbed and thrown into the lake of fire. That is what will happen. Why? Because of the fact that somebody very special was born. Jesus is our hope. I really thank the Lord this morning that he has given us this gift of Jesus, I thank him because Jesus says, look, death may be reigning in humanity, but I am come to give you life. Jesus said that the thief, which is the enemy, comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I am come to give life. Not just life, but life more abundantly. In other words, eternal life. So we have the enemy who's stealing, who's killing, who's destroying. But, and that's a picture of hopelessness, isn't it? That's the mission of the enemy. The enemy is to destroy our, the enemy's wish is to destroy our lives. But Jesus is here to give us life and to extend our life. And I thank the Lord for that. And I think that's something that we can all embrace, isn't it? Amen?
Amen.
We can embrace life. We can embrace the source of all life, who is Jesus. Now, why is this account of the events leading up to the birth of Jesus so important? And equally, how and where did this all begin? I think we need to get to what is effectively the backstory of Jesus. Those who of us who know, and most of us will know, that the history of Jesus goes way, way back to eternity past. But for our purposes today, we're going to look at the Garden of Eden, because the genesis and beginning of much of what is happening in this world today had its beginning in the Garden of Eden, where God created man in his image. And the purpose of man was to rule over the whole earth, not just in the Garden of Eden, but the whole earth. And as a result of that, man had purpose and destiny. Don't you think it's good to have purpose and destiny in our lives? Without purpose and without a destiny, we are lost. Jesus is our hope. I'm going to read from Genesis 2:19-20. Should be on this. It's already on the screen. Wonderful. Okay. Now, the Lord God had formed out of the ground all the wild animals and all the birds in the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would name them. And whatever the man called each living creature, that was its name. So the man gave names to all the livestock, the birds in the sky, and all the wild animals. So we're thinking, well, why did God bring these creatures to the man? And what's the significance of that? God also gave, and we'll look into that a little later. God also gave man specific instructions, saying that, look, of all the trees in the Garden of Eden, you can eat of them, except for this particular tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If you eat of it, you will die. There was also a tree of life in the garden. You eat of that, you will live forever. Now, if Adam had given this long and serious thought, he could have come to this conclusion. Here is the tree of life. God said, I can eat of this tree. It's called the tree of life. If I eat of it, I will live. Therefore, obeying God leads to life. However, there was another tree in the garden. It's called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If I eat of that tree in disobedience to God, that tree becomes for me, the tree of death. So disobeying God leads to death. And there's another thing also. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil is, for me, effectively, as I said, a tree of death. And if I eat of it, I will die. And also, it is really about me deciding what I want to do. It's about me deciding that I will make my own decisions as to what I believe is good and what I believe is bad, independently of God. That's what the tree of the knowledge of good and evil represents. And I remember Brother Fuma spoke about the idea of people establishing their own truth. It might not make any sense, but they're saying, look, this is my truth, don't challenge my truth. The problem is that leads to confusion. How differently would things have been had Adam went along that path of thinking and stuck to it? I'm going to share another scripture with you. It's Genesis 3. It's Genesis, and the Lord God, Genesis 3:1. Now, the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat? Sorry, did God say that you must not eat from any of the tree in the garden? And I'm thinking, what? Where does this come from? That is not the word of God. I'm going to have to check and to see exactly what God had actually said. Because I actually believe that someone is trying to twist the word of God. And we've got to be careful with people who twist the word of God. And then there are some very famous people who are on the media who are giving their opinions rather than the word of God. And the problem with that is if we believe it, is that we'll end up being deceived and put our eternal existence in jeopardy. So we have got to learn to fact check these people. Otherwise, as I said, we are in danger. And our souls are so important. I'm going to move on to fact checking now. Now, this is what God actually said. Not what the serpent said, this is what God actually said. And the Lord God commanded, remember it's not a suggestion, commanded the man saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. That's a command of God. That is definitely a command of God. And you know something? It is so important that we actually delve into the Word of God on a daily basis. Because what it does, it gives us life. The Word is life. Unfortunately, there came a time when the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil was in Eve's hand, ready to be eaten. However, there is still hope, isn't there? Because Adam was standing there beside Eve. Surely Adam will support his wife, will rescue his wife, will save his wife. Because Adam will stand strongly in his identity, in the power and destiny that God has given him. Because remember, Adam was actually effectively king and priest in the garden. God had established him as such. So now we're dependent on Adam. Adam will rescue his wife. And what he will rescue his wife from this serpent that he had personally named. Remember, all the wild animals were taken to Adam to be named. So Adam know about this serpent. He's not a stranger. So we're dependent on Adam. But we've got to understand what was behind, who was behind the serpent. Satan was behind the serpent. And Adam had the power to command Satan to leave. In Luke 10:19, Jesus told his disciples that I will give you power over serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Adam had that power and that authority over the serpent and should have used it. For some reason, he did not. And I think that we have been given that power and we ought to use it. You don't get power and authority and you put it in your pocket and you never use it. The first Adam did not protect his wife. The first Adam allowed the serpent to deceive his wife. The second and last Adam, Jesus, we're talking about Jesus' birth. There is a significant reason why Jesus was born. The second Adam, Jesus, died for his wife, and his wife is the church. That's a big difference, isn't it? Sin. When sin is exercised, it brings death. So sometimes when we have an unhealthy thought or desire, sometimes it's just best to bat it aside. Don't dwell on it, because it will then generate into an action, a sinful action, and lead to death. So Adam and Eve in Genesis 3 went on to eat, both of them, of the fruit of the forbidden tree. And then the Lord said to the woman, "What have you done?" And Eve, shamefacedly, said to God, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." Now, this is where hope would have been lost, because the wages of sin is death. And that's full stop. The wages of sin is death. And the penalty should have been carried out there and then. But thank the Lord for the gift of God, which is eternal life. Thank the Lord for the gift of God. Romans 6:23 tells you that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. And that's like a synopsis, a short version of the story of redemption. Because the wages of sin is death, here comes the gift of God that rescues you and gives you eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the reason why Jesus came. But what happened to Adam? Eve was confronted by God. Adam wasn't asked any questions as to what he did and why he did. The reason why is because God knew that Eve was deceived, but Adam was not. Adam went into it with his eyes wide open. And this is where the idea of having thoughts and ideas in your mind that are unhealthy, you should not focus on them, put them aside. Because this is what happened to Adam. Adam was probably thinking, well, the devil said, I could be like God. And he dwelt on it far too long. As a result, those bad desires led to sin and ultimately to death. But let's get back to God's love and mercy. Because sin is the transgression of the law, this is where the love of God is shown. This is where God looks at Adam and Eve and said, you know something? I am going to do something very special. I'm going to do something very special here. I'm going to show my love. And what God did was he covered them both with the skin of an animal that was slain so that he gives them a signal that, look, you're not going to die today. You're not going to die today. I am going to give you a stay of execution. And this is very important. This day of execution says, look, the human race will die. However, I'm going to give you time so that a savior will come so that he can die in your place. That is God's love being shown. If we move on to Genesis 3:15, a very important, sorry, clicker doesn't seem to be working, so I'll have to read it from here. So here's God's amazing promise of the Messiah. Now, God is cursing the serpent. And this is what the serpent, this is what God said to the serpent, I will put enmity. Enmity means severe hostility between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. So this is hope now, because Adam and Eve realized that, hold on, we're going to have children. That means we're going to die today. It means that there's hope. So I'm going to read it again. I will put enmity between you and the woman, God speaking to the serpent, and between you, your seed and her seed. God also signals that there will be a coming battle between good and evil, between life and death. Remember, we talked about that a little earlier. God is saying that the seed of the woman will bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. And that's a signal that this victory over the serpent, this coming victory over the serpent, will the serpent seed will come at a price. But notice another consequence of Adam's sin, Adam's disobedience. God doesn't talk about the seed of Adam. God talks about the seed of the woman, which means, in a sense, Adam will be cut out of this transaction. He'll be made somewhat redundant. Because Adam cannot be part of this transaction any longer. Because the Savior, who is the seed of the woman, cannot come from Adam, because Adam, everyone born of Adam, is born in sin and shaped in iniquity. So whoever comes from Adam cannot, do not have their own righteousness that they can give to humanity. Only sin. Because when Jesus died on the cross, what he did was, he was righteous. So he imputed his righteousness to all of us. His eternal life, this gift of eternal life to all of us, whilst taking away our sins. And he took the sins onto himself, and he died because he was carrying our sin, not because he had any sin. So when he died, He was able to look death in the face and say, look, I'm going to be resurrected because you have nothing on me. Because I have not sinned, but I have taken their sin and died in their place, which takes away the guilt and the punishment of death forever. And I will rise triumphant because God the Father has given me the power to do that, and I rise in my own righteousness. You have nothing on me. And by the way, I'm going to just chain you up in my authority and say, you have no longer power over my people. I thank the Lord for Jesus. So sometimes, you know, when we think about Jesus, we think, oh yeah, lovely story of a child being born, and we don't know the significance of that birth. We don't know where he came from, why he came into the world, and why he had to be born of a virgin. So let's move from this point in history, because the seed of a woman wasn't going to be born straight away. The seed of a woman had to be born many thousands of years in the future, because God needed time to put certain things into place. God needed time to put Abraham into place, to say, look, Abraham, through you, the whole world will be blessed. God had to put David on the throne into place and say, but David, the seed of the woman will be sitting on your throne forever. God had to put the sacrificial system in place that says that we have a sacrificial system that says that I can use this animal symbolically to take away your sin for a while, but there will come a time when there will be a permanent sacrifice that will cover all of humanity. So it's really important that God use time, because what we are living in time. And then many thousands of years from that point, Isaiah 7:14. Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, God with us. So the seed of the woman does not come from earth, it comes from heaven. Remember what was said, that the Holy Spirit would overshadow Mary. That is God ensuring that his son was born for the purpose for which he was born. We talked about Jesus's history going way back into eternity past. And I'm going to give you a revelation of who Jesus is. In Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's it, really. Not much detail. But then in the New Testament, in John 1:1-4, John takes that up and gives us a lot more detail as the Holy Spirit revealed certain things to him. In the beginning, John said, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life. Thank God for life. Thank God for eternal life that resides in Jesus. And it's only in Jesus that we can get eternal life. Thank the Lord. So the Word of God was with God in the beginning. There is a Godhead. There is a Godhead. God is one, and we generally hear that. We hear there's a Godhead, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And we think, well, God is one, God is... And you think, well, actually, God is one, so are you. You're one, aren't you? And the thing is that although you are one, but guess what? You're made up of body, soul, and spirit. And then further on in John 1:1-4, the Word became flesh and lived among us. We gazed on his glory, the kind of glory that belongs to the Father's unique or only begotten Son, who is full of grace. And in Timothy 3:16, and without controversy, Paul says, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. God was justified in the spirit. God was seen by angels. God was preached among the Gentiles. God was believed on in the world. God was received up in glory. That is a biography of Jesus's life, starting from his birth through to his life and his ministry, through to his death and his resurrection. So this was Jesus's pathway in life. It's also our pathway to hope. Can we say hallelujah? Because we have hope. Psalm 118 verse 17 says, I will not die but will live and proclaim what the Lord has done. We were placed under a sentence of death, not just death here, done, but eternal death. But today we can say we will not die, but we will live. Hallelujah. And we live because of God's mercies. Brother Kareem talked about the mercies of God very recently. And that just touched my heart, because God's mercies is eternal. It's renewed every morning. His goodness, his kindness. So because of the mercies of God, the birth of Jesus fulfills God's plan, and also the promise that was made in Genesis 3:15 to Adam and Eve, that there will be someone who will eventually die in your place, die for you, die for your descendants, die for all of us, to bring in God's saving grace and mercies. That's the true story of Jesus's birth. It's not about just celebrating, having a happy time, and this, sort of smile and be happy, and then tomorrow we'll cuss our neighbors. That's not what it's about. It's about God touching our hearts, changing our hearts over time. It's about God asking us to rely on him, rely on his mercies, his goodness, his kindness, his love. So my brothers and sisters, even if you were to die, you have hope of life eternal. Can we thank God for the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ, our Lord, because he's a prize and that's been given to us. He's the one who took death in our place so that we can go free. He gets the punishment, we get the reward. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So now we can enjoy Christmas as well as we may, because we know the real message. We are now all aware that Jesus didn't just turn up, randomly appear to around 2,000 years ago. He was and is God's redemptive gift to mankind. So when you talk about gifts this Christmas, remember that the greatest gift that you've got is Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to the message today. We hope it blessed you. And if it did, please like, comment, and subscribe for more videos from Micah. And don't forget to click the notification bell to see when they're uploaded. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you in the next one.